Welcome to the Tapping Insiders Club. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this audio, you acknowledge that you have read and agree to the disclaimer located at www.tappinginsidersclub.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview gives you new insights on how to be a healthier and a happier you. Enjoy. Depression can be a word used to describe a feeling of sadness, but true clinical depression is a mood disorder in which feeling sadness and other negative feelings interferes with everyday life for a long period of time. This has been one of the most requested topics, and I'm really happy to be able to speak with Carol Look. Before becoming an EFT master, Carol was trained as a clinical social worker and earned her doctoral degree in clinical hypnotherapy. You can learn more about her at attractingabundance.com. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Carol, thanks for being with us. You know, like I mentioned before, this is one of the most requested topics, and I really wanted to talk to you about it because, you know, we've talked before about this. Can you tell us why this is a sensitive topic that we need to be careful with?
Well, I would say it may be more pervasive than some of the other topics that we deal with EFT, but much more importantly, it's more serious. So this is not like someone to come quit smoking or someone who wants to work on pain issues or abundance issues or anything like that. If you have a major depression or what they call a depressive episode, you need to see a medical doctor. And tapping has not been, I'm going to say this because a lot of people don't understand this, but it's really important. Tapping hasn't been that effective for major depression because of the depth of the illness of a major depression. So we really feel strongly, and I know our friend Pat Carrington does and other people in the field, that if you are truly depressed, not just sad, but truly depressed as a clinical diagnosis, you need to see your doctor. And you need to get an evaluation to see if medication is the right route for you, because tapping's not enough. And we have found that over the decades with tapping, and it's really important. You know, honestly, Jess, it was controversial when people first started saying that what do you mean tapping can't help depression that much? Well, some people have been helped, but not like the other issues we use with tapping. There's something about the depth of the depression, and of course, depression can come from so many things. It can be chemistry that you've inherited in your family. Mm-hmm. It can be just the thoughts you're thinking about. It can be something connected to your diet or nutritional issues. What about if you have an episode in your family, if someone dies or if there's a major change in your family? That can trigger an underlying depression that's just been hovering there for a while. Right. So it's really important to get the right kind of help. So we're very careful about it. It's not something to be dealt with lightly. Neither are any of the other problems we deal with tapping, but this is more of a disorder that needs to be dealt with medically.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people self-diagnose themselves or they use the word depression to describe how they're feeling, but I really want to get into this clinical depression and learn a little bit about the symptoms so we can see if we do have those symptoms that we should reach out for outside help. So can you share with us some symptoms of depression?
Yes. And just to comment on what you just said, that's very important. When someone feels depressed, one of the last things they want to do is reach out for outside help. So this becomes a cycle and can be scary for someone who is depressed. People in their family say, get off the couch, go do something. Well, the whole point of depression is that you can't get off the couch. You're not doing your daily activities, you're not showering, you're not getting to work on time, you're barely doing stuff with the kids. It really is, you know, quite a deep disorder. What I thought would be helpful, Jess, is read some of the symptoms and what they really describe as depression, or what we call in the psychiatric field, it's dysthymic disorder. That's what all psychotherapists call it. It's dysthymia. And read a little bit about that and see if people listening fall into that category or say, oh, I've been down, but I don't think I'm really depressed.
Right.
Right? So This is what it says. A depressed mood for most of the day, for more days than not, as indicated either by subjective account or observation by others. For at least 2 years. So if your friends are saying, you know, you don't seem like yourself, You seem a little down. Are you okay? It doesn't seem like you're doing your normal activities. That's a really good indicator, because often we can't diagnose ourselves. We don't see it. We're too in it. We can't possibly see it. So then it says there needs to be a presence of two or more of these symptoms to really diagnose it as depression. Poor appetite or overeating, right? So you can have undereating or overeating. And actually in the elderly, you see the poor appetite a lot. And many times in the elderly, they get depressed for all sorts of hormonal reasons and lots of losses as they age, losses in their life and losses in their families. And people aren't catching it because they think, well, the elderly have poor appetites anyway. Mm. But it is a significant issue around depression. So poor appetite or overeating. Number two, insomnia or hypersomnia. So many people with depression will complain of waking up really early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they can't go back to sleep. Hypersomnia is the people, oh, I can't get it. I just want to sleep all day. I had a client who would say, Carol, I just want to sleep all day. She was depressed. And I got her to the appropriate medical interventions to get on some medication because that's what she needed. I believe in medication for some cases, psychotherapy and tapping and nutritional and physiological support. Now, physiological support, when you move, when you walk, when you exercise, you release endorphins, and it can be also very helpful. Not the only way to clear it, of course. Number three, low energy or fatigue. Not just when you and I just say, oh, how are you this morning? Oh, I'm really tired. We mean low energy or fatigue that literally impedes someone from getting out of bed or off the couch. Number four, low self-esteem, just sort of classic low self-esteem. Number five, this is really important, poor concentration or difficulty making decisions. Now, I see so many people with difficulty making decisions, but I have seen that idea of poor concentration. I remember seeing someone who was depressed, and she couldn't focus on anything. She was distracted. She couldn't keep her attention for more than, 20 seconds on one thing, and that was that sort of inability to land someplace emotionally. And the last one here, number six, just feelings of hopelessness. So, Jess, if you had a friend come to you and say, I just have been feeling really hopeless, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's not just connected to one event in my life, but it just seems I can't get out of it, that's someone who's really saying I'm depressed. But they're not way down the scale, someone who can barely reach out for help. So if anyone's listening and they're really having trouble, please call a friend or your medical doctor and say, I think I'm honestly depressed. I really think I have depression. What would you do about it? Then you follow up with what the doctor, or if there's an evaluation, what they would do. Let someone diagnose this. EFT practitioners cannot diagnose depression. Now, right. Psychologists can, psychiatrists can, social workers can. I learned to do it in an agency where I worked. But if any practitioners listening suspect their clients are really depressed, sometimes that's why EFT isn't working. They can't focus on an issue long enough. They're chemistry is so low that even though we always think tapping is helpful on some level, you can't gain any traction. When you work with someone, Jess, with tapping, and they really change in a few minutes, you can see their demeanor and their mood lift. That doesn't happen with someone who's deeply depressed.
Right. Okay. So, Carol, thank you for sharing that. And so now we do know that if any of those relate to us, to seek outside help. Now, I mentioned before that there are people who, self-diagnose themselves with depression, but it's really that they're using depression as an adjective to describe how they're feeling low and sad. So if someone is listening and they say, I'm definitely not clinically depressed, but I've been using the word depression because that's, as a way to describe how I feel, how do they figure out, whether tapping can help and where to go with that?
Well, if you're saying to your friends, oh, wow, I feel really depressed, you do want to look at that and differentiate between a real clinical depression and feeling low, feeling out of sorts. Are you between jobs, between relationships? You can't quite feel like you're settled. Then it's more than depression. It's more like tumultuous or, you know, kind of feeling at sea. And you want to look at the reasons. And that's just important because all those reasons could be very effective tapping targets. Let's say you left a job because you don't think it's right for you, and now you feel a bit lost. That's a tappable target. Mm-hmm. Let's say you left a relationship and it was really the right thing to do, but it still hurts. It's still painful. That's a wonderful tappable target. And you may feel blue, low, sad for a few months, but you're not clinically depressed. The other thing, of course, about clinical depression is when people have suicidal, what we call suicidal ideation or suicidal thoughts or feelings. And that's really when someone says, you know what? It'd just be easier not to be here. And anyone listening, please pay attention to your friends and family members and anyone that you work with who might be just saying that out loud. Oh, life's too hard. Sometimes I just want to give up. That is a serious, serious sign to pay attention to, mm-hmm. right? It just means they're saying, you know what? It's too difficult, and I'd rather check out. So you really want to be careful when you hear someone saying that. You really want to get them some help.
Right. Oftentimes when people are using the word depression as just a way to describe their sadness, they feel this overwhelmed in this confusion of they can't pinpoint exactly what's causing the feeling. They just feel low. So, you know, how do you approach something like that?
Well, if that's what they feel, if they can identify, you know, I just feel overall low. That's what you do with tapping. But another great way to use tapping for some of these symptoms are to focus on your body. So when people feel, oh, I feel blue and low and tired, you know, where is it? And they'll say, well, that's weird. It's in my head. I feel fuzzy in my head. And that's the door you go into with tapping. So you would say, even though I can't get clear in my head and I really feel fuzzy, or, you know, even though my body feels heavy and sluggish, so do the physical body symptoms that you have as a result of being low, even though I can't get out of bed, you know, whatever it feels like to you, the heaviness, the darkness. And again, there's that fine line between when do you feel heavy and dark and when do you need to go get a clinical evaluation. But just kind of say, you know what, I with EFT, start where you are. Where am I? I feel, you know, down. I feel blue. My head just feels all unclear, or I feel overwhelmed. So see if you can get a better word, a more descriptive word than depression, something a little bit more specific, and start there. Even though I can't make a decision to save my life and it's driving me crazy, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though this, because sometimes what happens, Jess, with big decisions in our lives, let's say relationship decisions, moving, jobs, you know, whether to quit or start a new one or whether to start your own business, all sorts of family issues, we do get stuck in indecision. And indecision makes people feel a little bit depressed because they can't put one foot in front of the other. And they say, for 3 months I've been back and forth and not able to make a decision. Am I depressed or am I just afraid to make the decision? And that's an excellent tapping target, even though I haven't been able to decide whether to move or stay. And that could be, again, relationship, job, state, country, whatever it is, even though I haven't been able to make this decision. It feels terrible, but it's not depression. While indecisiveness is a symptom of depression, it's one of the 6, 7, 8 symptoms, and you need to have several of them to be diagnosed as depressed.
Mm. And if
tapping
you're,
target, right?
Right. And if you are diagnosed with depression and you're working with someone else, do you find that it's helpful to incorporate tapping with the traditional practice?
I would. What I have found is that some people who are too depressed, because they can't, as I said earlier, they can't get any traction. Their mood is so low, there's never a window for EFT to work. It has nothing to grab onto. But if they're in good psychotherapy and possibly on a low dose of medication, if that's useful and right for them and their body, and maybe cleaning up some of the nutritional problems, you know, I've heard a lot. I'm not an MD, so I can't talk about it that way. But many people who are overloaded with the wrong kinds of foods can feel sluggish and heavy in their body. And maybe that's only 20% of their depression, but that's a lot. So if you're getting help on those levels, you know, psychologically, with medication, if that's possible, or if that's something that you think is, or your doctor thinks would be right for you. Then doing the tapping, it's got a place to hold. I would always do the tapping. I'm just saying, don't just use the tapping if you think you are clinically depressed. It's going to take too long. If it has an effect, it's going to take too long. Now, there may be people listening who say, hey, well, that wasn't my experience. Good, but I bet you probably weren't clinically depressed.
Right.
And as I say, some of the top people in the field, like Dr. Pat Carrington, et cetera, have come out and said, please, if you are depressed, do not resort to one single energy medicine technique, and you know, please seek medical help.
Carol, I'm curious. You speak a lot about identity. If someone was labeled as depressed, and they have overcome it, they've overcome their depression, does the label play a part in how they continue living their life? Is that something that we should look at?
Well, I'll tell you what I've seen is that once people have depression, they can be afraid it's going to come back. Because here's the good news is that you can get over an episode, a single episode of depression. You can get over a bout of depression. You can lean and move towards not being depressed if you get the right help. So it's really, it's quite good news. But people, the same way if they've been diagnosed with an illness, they can sometimes keep looking for it, even if they're better. So that's how it can play a part in their identity. Oh, yes, I'm somebody who's depressed. And friends would look at them and say, not anymore. You used to be. Please put it in the past tense.
Right.
So that's really important. Put it in the past if it's in the past. You know, don't fake it, but really put it in the past if that's where it belongs. And what's your new identity? You know, it's like the success issues I work with. If someone's been a failure, that's how they've been considered in their family for two decades. And then they start doing the success work. Well, it works. So then they think, wait a minute, but I've been a failure. My family thinks I'm a failure, and now here I am a success. What do I do with that? It is something we need to struggle with because it presents itself as a conflict. Mm-hmm. Who am I now? So if you've been depressed for 2 years, 5 years, 25 years, some people listening will say, you know what? I've been depressed since I was a child. That's very possible that there are people who have never gotten extra help who have been depressed their whole lives, right? Well, what are you going to do with the identity? What if you're no longer depressed? Does that scare you in any way? Does it feel threatening in any way to be different? It's just all with any problem that we get presented with, that's really important to take a look at.
Okay. So, you know, from this interview, the two takeaways for me at least is one, if you think that you have serious depression or if you think you have depression, go out and get professional help. And if now learning what depression really is and reading the symptoms, if you realize you aren't actually clinically depressed, you can begin by tapping where you are and asking yourself questions. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Because you could have a bad week. You could have a low month. If something happened in your family or at work, you could have a low season. You could have a low winter. But that doesn't mean you're clinically depressed and you need to look for, you know, what's going on? What triggered this? A really good question, Jessica, is, you know, when did it start? Oh, that's weird. It started in November. What was going on before November? What led you to feeling low and put upon and exhausted? Maybe you're doing too much, people. Do you know how many of us are doing too much and racing around and, you know, carpooling the kids and juggling two jobs? And I mean, that can exhaust you. I'm a big proponent of getting rest and sleep and taking care of yourself because I've burnt out myself before and I've seen other people, especially clinicians, burn out. And it's a part of our field that's not being taken care of. We're doing too much and we're on the internet and our Blackberries and our cell phones and, you know, we're not getting any peace and quiet. You and I live in New York City. It's not that easy to get peace and quiet. But honestly, too much noise and stimulation and activity means you're not taking any time to rejuvenate everywhere from sleep and rest to your cells. You're not being quiet enough for your cells to have the immune system kick in. So there are lots of little things we can do to help ourselves. You know, when we rest, our immune system does work really, really well. I would say one other point, Jess, about depression is that sometimes people can get depressed if they're in a cycle of illness because illness is depressing, quotes, but it's also can kind of burn your physical body out. If you have an illness and then another illness and another illness and get sick over the winter, sometimes you're just plain old depleted. And it may not be a clinical depression, but again, talk to someone in your family or a really close friend or a practitioner that you're seeing and say, you know, do you think it's a good idea that I go see a doctor? Because I'm not able to jumpstart myself out of this. And I've had the flu and then I was sick and then I had another bout of my fibromyalgia kicked up again, which is depressing. That's really upsetting to people and it can depress the physiology. Remember, we always look at illnesses and diagnosable illnesses as psychological, physiological, and spiritual. And please use that word spiritual in any way that fits you. There are many things that can feel, you know, spiritual to you, like you've kind of hit a crossroads and you're not sure what to do. And is your integrity intact at work and at home? And so we really see the illnesses like depression, excuse me, as connected to all parts of ourselves. So that's why I can actually talk about medication and exercise and physiological support and getting sleep and getting nutritional advice and seeking a medical evaluation and doing energy medicine and tapping, you know. So just remember, it's never just one cause. Even right. If you think you've been depressed since you were a child, maybe you had it in your family history. Maybe something happened when you were a child. There was a loss of a grandparent or parent quite early on that was never handled well. There's so many reasons people can be depressed. And we just want you to get as much help as possible from outside sources, everything from nutritional to physical to, you know, psychological to using the tapping. But what we have found is that tapping isn't that effective without additional help. If you have a serious clinical depression, we absolutely recommend get outside help first. And then go ahead and work with your practitioner and do tapping and say, you know, maybe you're frustrated, you have to be on medication. Maybe you just feel sluggish and you're so tired of being sluggish. It's you know, it's a lousy feeling. Whether you have it for a day, a week, or a decade, it is a lousy feeling. There's no oomph to you. You know, there's a famous expression from an old movie, I think, or an old TV show where someone teases and says, they say, my get up and go got up and went. You know, they just feel just completely blah and nothing. But again, that's different than you and I talking on we've had, what, 8-9 days of rain in New York. You know, you and I talking on a day that's dark and a little bit damp and kind of blah Monday, you know, that's very different than someone who's suffering from a depression. And that's what we really want people to clarify.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for clarifying that. Like I said, this is one of the most requested topics and we want to be sensitive to it. And, you know, if someone is realizing that they're not actually clinically depressed, but they're just feeling low, there are so many resources in the club. And, you know, for those of you who think that you may be clinically depressed, you know, we can't urge you enough to seek outside help. We wish the best for you. Carol, thank you so much. I hope people visit you at attractingabundance.com. Thanks again.
Thank you.